This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, and somehow ends up in first class for the price of coach? I know that guy. Sometimes I've even been that guy. Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards earn their keep and which are just heavy, shiny metal. The quick math for knowing when to pay with points or just swipe your card. Which airport lounges are worth it and which are basically free Wi-Fi and chairs. Look, these people know the drill. They got the inside scoop. Money's too tight to travel dumb. We want to travel smart. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired like 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. Thanks for listening. My guest today is Marin May. And before we get to Marin, here's a few announcements. Our website is traveltalespodcast.com. There you'll find stories that I've written, stories some of the guests have written. You'll find links to their social media. You'll find links to our social media, which is, of course, Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram. Instagram is the big one, folks. Follow us there, and let's build up those numbers. We have a Facebook page as well. You can follow us there, too. And if you're in a giving mood, how about going to all the streaming services that you listen to us on? Could be any of them. Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Go to those places and give us a good rating, will you? Because that helps more people find the show by boosting our presence, and that'd be a cool thing for you to do. If you think you'd be right for the show, or maybe know somebody you'd be right for the show, or maybe you want to write me, ask me some travel questions, or just tell me I'm great, you can write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. Marin May is a friend of my girlfriend. That's how we met. They saw each other at a dinner party. Marin was talking about a recent trip to Portugal that she just took. And my girlfriend said, hey, my guy does a travel podcast. Maybe you should be on it. And so here we are. Marin is an LA native, despite her Northern California name, which is a reference to Marin County, which is up Northern California. But Marin grew up a Valley girl up there in Sherman Oaks, now lives not too far from me in what we call the South Bay of Los Angeles. She's in the real estate game and travels a lot for work. And she's at a very exciting time of her life because she has a son who's just turned 19 and is away at college. And now she's got all this newfound freedom that she can travel a lot more. She travels, you know, for business, but can extend it, you know, and makes great use of her travel privileges and status, and rightfully so. So we talk about her many travels through Europe, what it was like to travel with a child, and what she's looking forward to with this newfound freedom in her life. So we had never met before, and it was a pleasure to get to know her, and I think you'll like getting to know her as well. Here's my chat with Marin May. Saying that right, Marin May.
It's Marin, like the county.
Okay, see, I did not say it right. Marin May.
Yeah.
Marin May. And let me just say right now, Marin May, great name. Kind of rolls off the tongue.
Hey, that's good.
Is that your real name?
It is. Well, my first name is Angela, legally. It's my mother's name, but they named me after the county. I've always gone by my middle name, so yeah.
They named you after the county,
your middle name. Could have been Elpidus. Could have been really grim.
That could have been, yeah. L.A. native, despite your nickname?
Yes, born and raised in Los Angeles. I'm a Valley girl.
Okay, what part of the Valley?
Sherman Oaks, North Hollywood, Studio City, where my old stomping grounds.
Oh, man, oh, man. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, baby.
Like, oh, my God, gag me with a spoon.
That was you.
That
was you. Oh, my God. So this is a travel podcast, and we're going to get to your travels. So we should introduce you and let people know what you do for a living. And I will say how we know each other. You are a friend of my girlfriend Piper, and you guys are in the same line of work in real estate. So that's all I know about you. So fill in the blanks. What do you do?
Oh, my goodness. So, yes, my name is Marin, like the county. And I grew up, born and raised in the Valley, but then relocated to the beautiful South Bay where we both live. Very blessed to live there. So let's see, what do? I currently work in real estate. I have a background. I was a child actor. We were talking a little bit earlier about that. I was SAG in 81, so I just aged myself. Yeah. And so I segued into the wonderful world of real estate in 2002. And now I work on the corporate side of things. And so I speak to amazing human beings who run brokerages and large teams in real estate all over the country. And I help them analyze their business models and see if the company that I work for is a good fit for partnership.
Okay. So you travel for work then?
I do travel for work. I travel anytime I can, any excuse.
Okay. So is it all domestic or do you even go international with this?
It's domestic, although fun fact, I had the opportunity last year to go to Portugal for work.
Oh, okay.
For a retreat.
Love it. I've been there about four times, I think.
It was a mad love affair that I did not expect, I have to say. What did you think of Portugal?
Well, I first went there in 2017 and dabbled. You know, I just went to Lisbon and the Algarve down there, and I thought it was great. But I did not know. I mean, looking back now, hindsight, you know, I should have jumped on the golden visa while I could. And that is the hot new place now. Now, it's the rules have changed quite considerably. They've upped the ante of what it costs. It's almost doubled. And you can't buy property there as a foreigner because all the foreigners did, especially during COVID. And now the locals can't afford a house. So they put a stop to that. But it's awesome because you as a Californian, especially, it's California weather pretty much.
Right.
The terrain is very similar. The climate is the same. And it's a great lifestyle. You know, Lisbon and Porto I've seen. In between the two, I haven't seen as much, but I've been down the coast a little bit. On the south, and of course the Algarve is beautiful. I haven't been to a bad place in Portugal. So where did you go in Portugal? Were you right in Lisbon or move around?
Yeah, so the company event was actually in Algarve. So I took advantage of the situation as much as I could, knowing that I had to go to Portugal. And I actually flew to Paris first. So I have like these weird little travel hacks that I do. I always try to fly to Europe around, nonstop. That's my goal. How do I get there nonstop? And how do I fly on Delta? I'm a loyal Delta loyalist because they're good to me and I have lots of points and I'll use them to upgrade myself for international travel, which is exactly what I did. I found out that my godmother was in Paris at the same time that I was supposed to go to Portugal. And originally I was going to fly into Portugal and I was going to go into some of Spain and then do Portugal on the other side. But when I found out my godmother in her 70s was going to be in Paris, when would I have an opportunity to travel the streets of Paris with my godmother again? So I flew nonstop into Paris and spent 5 days with her in Paris and had an incredible time. And then it's so easy and cheap to travel once you get there. So normally I like flying nonstop into London or Paris because you can get...
Anywhere from there.
Because once you land there, it's so cheap to fly.
Yeah. Or train or any other way to go.
Right? It's a delight. And it's ridiculously reasonable in spite of the exchange rate. So I flew nonstop to Paris, upgraded myself to business with some points.
Hello, lay flat seat.
That's right. Well, no, business on Delta is not. It's like the three-quarter, but...
Oh, but still, you're not...
Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, you're not out there with the riffraff like me out there in coast.
I get real silverware and real glassware. Yeah. Although I did upgrade to first one time, and that's a good story.
Okay. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. Oh, except it ruins you forever.
I will say that that is a hack we've talked about. And you, I mean, if you can get to one of the major hubs, whether it's London... London tends to be a little more expensive because they tack on... Just going through Heathrow tends to tack on an extra $100.
Yeah.
But if you can get to whether it's Amsterdam, Paris, Madrid, even Istanbul, sometimes you can, get a deal and then fly cheap to anywhere. But, you know, we forget as Americans because everything's so spread out here how close together everything is in Europe.
Correct.
And there's so many budget airlines that nobody's ever heard of here, but you can jump on one of those things pretty easy.
It's 50 euros and you're in a different country. It's ridiculous, right? Or you hop on a train and it's a beautiful, smooth ride where you get to stare out the window and watch the countryside go by or grab a cocktail.
So did you fly into Lisbon or did you fly into the Algarve?
So this was my route. I flew into Paris and I spent 5 days in Paris with my godmother wandering around the streets of Paris, which is always a delight. Although I hated Paris the first time I went, but not anymore.
Oh,
okay. I knew how to do it right.
How old were you when you
hated
Paris?
When I went to Paris for the first time?
Yeah.
I went to Paris for the first time in 2002, shortly after I got married for my honeymoon.
Okay.
With my now ex-husband.
And you hated it. Was he the reason you hated it? Or did you just have... Here we are, post 9/11. You go on your honeymoon. And what happened?
A lot about travel is who you travel with.
Okay. I'm not going to dig too deep there. But
no,
that's
it's fine. I mean, that's a whole podcast on its own, probably.
Did he not dig it and he just bring you down? Was that the problem?
I think it was a couple of things. I think that where we stayed in Montmartre wasn't phenomenal. And so I didn't really, we were strangers in a strange town and I didn't really know how to get around at that point. There was definitely some challenges traveling with him. We traveled very differently.
So that was a little different.
It is a test. It's funny because we traveled quite a bit when we were together. We were together for a long time. Things turned sideways in Paris and Dublin.
Okay.
When we traveled. Stories where the wheels fell off the bus, right?
That's a good movie title. Things Turn Sideways in Paris.
Things Turn Sideways in Paris.
Well, is it usually one of those things where it's like one person's like, I have a schedule and we want to hit all these things. And the other person's like, la, 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 I'm going to sleep till noon. Or was that, who was which one?
I think, I'll give you an example. When we went to the Louvre, I wanted to get the recording and learn about each of the pieces and the history and the background. And we got into an argument because he doesn't want to hear any of that. He wants to look at things and jump to his own conclusions about what he sees and experiences. So it's just it is different, you know, when you travel with people and you have a different way of taking in the world. My travel style has changed and evolved as I've gotten older too, including being a parent. I've traveled with my son, and the way that you travel with a kiddo is very, very different than when you travel when you're young or then when you're more middle-aged and settled down. And also you learn as you go, right? So for this particular trip, I was solo. I flew into Paris, and then I took, you know, a 50-euro flight into Algarve for my company retreat. And I was in Algarve for 3 days and my experience was the same. I kept having to do a double take because I thought I was in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
It was wild, right? but beautiful, beautiful. I mean, the tiled roads and the colors and the people are fantastic and the food is wonderful. So that was lovely. And then I actually went on my first experience of traveling Europe by myself.
Hey.
I have never traveled alone before.
So I'm assuming now, I don't know, how old is your son now?
My son is 19.
Okay, so you're finally, he's off. Is he away? Is he at school?
He's away. He's a freshman in college up in Humboldt.
Look at you partying now. Here we go.
Yeah.
You've been waiting 18 years for this.
I can work from anywhere. It's a hell of a lot cheaper to travel solo, might I add, right? So this was my first, I decided since I was there, I was going to make the most of it. And so I hopped on a train from Algarve up to Lisbon, and I was in Lisbon for 2 days by myself. And then I hopped on the train and went up to Porto and was in Porto for only a day, which is a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Give it a few days.
And then I flew out of Porto back to Paris because my nonstop was Paris. And then flew out of Paris the next day and wandered around the streets of Paris the night that I flew in by myself too and sat in a cafe and had a glass of wine and watched the people walk by. It was awesome.
So did you ever get that phase that you never did the whole like backpacking around Europe, get a Eurail pass and, you know, thumb it and stay in the hostels and stuff?
I never did it. And I have family in Switzerland. So I've been to Switzerland several times. And
my aunt
used to give me a hard time because when I would travel with my husband, she's like, just stay in the hostels. And we wouldn't do it. We were, bougie Americans traveling, you know, on a beer budget, wanting champagne taste. Now I regret it because now they won't let me in. I'm too old. again, I think travel style changes. I think how we used to travel when I was married was very much like we figure it out as we go. And now I think technology has changed. It's easier to do research. It's easier to find connections and commonalities or people that you may or may not know in certain areas, or people who have gone and traveled to where you're going before. And so the experience is different. I used to hate tours. I was adamantly against them back in the day. That has changed. The hop on, hop off buses are cheesy, I'm not going to lie, but man, they help you get your bearings, right? Or the free walking tours are fabulous. That's a fun hack. I did it in Lisbon. You know, go take a free walking tour. You tip them.
You tip the guy. Yeah.
They're locals. Great. You get the lay of the land. And then
they never usually go over like an hour or two. You know,
no,
it's just like, it's really chill.
You meet other people who are traveling.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a good one.
My Lisbon walking tour was fabulous. She actually told us about the best restaurant. It's one of the best meals I've ever had in my entire life. It was so cheap and it was so good. And then the locals or the other tourists that I met on that walking tour, I told them I was going to Porto and they had just come from Porto. So they gave me the full rundown of what they did, where they went, who they met, an incredible restaurant that they ate at. And it set me up for just a magical ride in Porto. Porto brought me to tears. It was so beautiful.
How many little custard tarts did you eat? How many little pastel de natas?
Okay, so pastel de natas. I tried to eat them everywhere I could because they're the thing, right?
Right.
And I have to say, I didn't like the ones in the...
In Belém?
I didn't like the Belém ones.
The famous place, yeah.
Yeah, the Belém ones I did not like as much, and I got them fresh. There was not a line when I went there. Oh. I went there right before hopping on a sunset sail. So I was right down there, and I got them, and they were good. They're not bad. They don't suck.
Right. You liked the other ones better.
But I had them next to my hotel where I stayed, up in the where the castle is.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And those were fabulous. Way better. Way better. So I think my recommendation, if you're you're right, everywhere I go, when I was in Germany, my goal was to eat strudel everywhere to find the best strudel. And then I ate the pastel de natas everywhere to find the best one. So I guess I create a theme of trying the local.
You gotta. I mean, if it's a specialty. Yeah. What are you, a wine person?
I love wine. So,
okay. So you're in good shape there in Portugal.
Yeah. Green wine. Like, don't sleep on green wine. It's beautiful. It's effervescent. It's a delight. Vino Verde is just wonderful wine. And it's abundant and it's so reasonably priced in Portugal.
That was the first place I'd had it. I don't think I had heard of it before I got there.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fabulous. In fact, it's funny because I learned about Portuguese wine long before I even knew that I was going to get to go to Portugal. And so I turned all my girlfriends onto Vino Verde. There's a Vino Verde at Trader Joe's. It's $4.99 a bottle. It's a green bottle.
It's in my price range.
It's phenomenal. It's low alcohol. So
see, that's where you lost me.
Yeah, it's a porch pounder. As Jessica, our friend.
Porch pounder, as soon as you said that, I thought of her. That's the Jessica term.
Yeah,
something you can sit on your porch and just drink all day and, you know, you'll be
delightful.
Fine.
Or you can have a glass when you're wandering the streets of Lisbon for lunch and still keep going.
Keep your wits about you.
You're not done for the day.
Yeah, you don't need a nap.
Yeah, so no, Portuguese wine is legit. I shipped home a bunch of port, of course.
I never got into port. I couldn't get the port thing. It's not my thing.
Did you do a tasting?
Yeah, I've given it a number of tries to win me over. I didn't hate it, but it's just not my bag, you know.
Did you try white port?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All of it. Do you just keep trying? I'm going to say
it's
that.
Too sweet for me, I think.
I'm not sure about wine. I think I need to keep trying it.
Yeah, exactly. More practice. That's what I need, more practice.
I do. I'm convinced that there might be something better out there, so I better keep trying it.
So most of your travels, I mean, you said, it sounds like you got family in Paris, you got family in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. So most of your travels have been through Europe, it sounds like.
Yeah, I did Europe. I've done Ireland. I've traveled various lovely places across the United States. I still have more Canada to explore. I've only been to Vancouver. This year, I get to go back to Vancouver, and I'll also get to go to Toronto.
Okay.
So I'm excited to go explore.
Toronto, you know, it's a big city. You know, I'm from Chicago originally, and I lived in New York, and it's like a little combo of the two. So you can see why they shoot so much stuff there that doubles for New York or Chicago, because it looks a lot like it. And Vancouver is one of my favorite cities in North America. I love Vancouver.
Vancouver's beautiful.
But if you can get up out into BC and maybe go in Alberta, into Banff, and National Park and all that other stuff, it's really gorgeous.
I know.
What time of year are you going?
I'm going next month, actually, in April.
Ooh,
and so
it's going to be wet. Is that going to be wet and chilly?
I mean, I ran through the streets of Bath in the rain. It doesn't bother me at all. I love it. A little rain never hurt anyone.
Are you a skier?
No. In fact, I was supposed to learn how to ski in Switzerland when I was going to visit my aunt and uncle.
Good place to learn.
Fell on the escalator the day that I was leaving and fractured my kneecap. And so
fell on an escalator.
Yes.
You're gonna have to explain yourself there.
I still have a scar. The scar on my kneecap is still a perfect hole. Of you know how the escalator has little wedges on it?
Yes.
It went right through my skin. my kneecap.
Well, back up. How do you fall? What were you doing?
I think I was running up the escalator because we were leaving that day, and I was trying to find things to buy for the trip or whatever.
Oh, you were going up.
And I fell. Yeah, I was going up, and I fell into the edge of the escalator stair. But I did get bumped up on that trip because they felt sorry for me, so they put us in the bullhead. We got that day, but
okay. So I mean, I was wondering, like growing up out here, when you have access, because I grew up in the Midwest with no mountains, and skiing was right here for you, but you didn't. Your family were not skiers, huh?
They weren't skiers. No, they weren't skiers, which is most unfortunate because I have a sneaky suspicion I would have loved it. There is still time.
Yeah, you can do it.
How about
were you a beach gal? Was that your thing? You live by the beach now.
No, I'm a hiker and a walker.
Okay.
I'll walk for miles. I will hike up steep hills.
Me too.
I love trees and hiking trails. I love looking at the beach, but I don't want to go in it. My family is from the Midwest, so I have a great love of lakes. Although, so Chicago's a great city, by the way.
Yeah, it is. I miss it. This time of year, I do not miss it.
You do not miss it this time of year.
Summers, although I miss it.
I want to go there one year for St. Patrick's Day and
see
the river dyed green. I think that would be so much fun.
It is a party. It is a party for sure.
Yeah.
So outside of Europe, where any places you've been outside of there? You've been to Asia at all? Africa? South America?
I haven't been to Asia or South America. One of the my immediate trips that I want to take is I've heard Mexico City is fabulous.
It's great. It's great. Yeah. I spent 5 days there and had a great time. You know, if you pick the right neighborhood, because it's huge. I mean, you're talking over 20 million people. You know, it's super spread out, but if you can focus on a few good things, and it's great. Yeah, it's a blast.
Great. It's reasonable.
And the food is amazing, of course.
Food's amazing. And there's a lot of history there. A lot of history, right?
Tons. Yeah, no, it's really interesting. It's worth going. And of course, from here, it's so easy to get to. You know, it's not hard to go from L.A. to Mexico City. Believe me.
So no South America, no Mexico, no Asian countries yet. Thailand looks incredible. I've had many friends go to Thailand.
One of my favorites in the world.
Yeah. Okay. So what's your favorite?
I can't pick favorites. I've been to
top three then. Top
almost 100 countries. Well, I mean, in terms of ones I'll always go back to, Thailand is up there. It's in the top. It's in the top three. And Italy, of course, you can't really go wrong.
Italy's amazing.
There. And the third one I'll have to think about. But, you know, I don't say no to too many.
Top three places in the United States.
I mean, the easiest thing, I'm a city guy. So, I mean, New York and, the canyons, southern Utah and things like that are really amazing. But California is like a country in itself. I mean, there's so many places here. I mean, San Francisco is, you know, an amazing country. I mean, city. City, country.
It's very reminiscent, speaking of, when I was in Lisbon. And even
with the hills and the streetcars and all that stuff. Oh, yeah.
Again, the coastline of Portugal is very reflective of California.
Yeah, it's
and
the same terrain.
And you said that earlier, and I felt that way too.
Same Mediterranean climate. And so, California's a very, very at home there. And the ocean is on the west, so it's easy. We get our bearings easy. Okay, exactly. The sun's setting over there. Got it.
You're not thrown off.
And if you're a hiker, you know, there's great mountains and hills. So you never had the desire to, like, because I've done Kilimanjaro and things. Like, I love hiking as well. I mean, have you done any big, like, Colorado mountains, like 14ers or something like that?
No, because I've been raising a child by myself
the
last 19 years. So now is
the
time.
Marin 2.0. Marin 2.0.
That's right. Jesus, Yeah, no, I mean, I am kind of excited. I feel like it's a new chapter. I think I'm finally starting to realize, like, the term midlife crisis. I think I'm there. For sure.
Did you install, I mean, I know traveling with a kid is different, but I don't have kids, but I was a kid once.
Yeah.
And what did you instill the travel bug in your son, hopefully? Did he dig it? Was he a good traveler?
He digs it. He's a great traveler. We actually have a blast when we travel together. I think I had a moment. I remember standing in the kitchen right around the time that he hit puberty, and I looked and he was taller than me and his voice had dropped. And I was like, oh crap, I don't have much time left. And so I made a vow at that point that every break that he would get, every vacation period, I would try to do something with him. And I pretty much most of the time stayed true to that. Even if it was one time we hopped in the car and we drove up the coast and hiked in Big Sur, and it was a great trip. We went to Boston. I took him, he had not been to Europe. And so that was on my list. And we checked that off a few years ago. We flew into London and did, a couple days in London and Bath. And then we took the train to Paris. And then from there, we took the train up to Switzerland to go visit my family, and then flew back to London and back home. Cause I wanted him, the first time I ever got to go to Europe, I was 12, and it made such an impact on me. I think it really changed the way that I looked at people in the world, in a way that was really, it opens up your, it's interesting to see how other people live, even though it's, you know, a very modern Western first world place, but so many things are different. The way that people function, the way that they eat, the way that they live, the bathrooms, there's just all these little differences, right?
Yeah. I never left the country till I was 21, you know, after college. And that's what I did. I went to Europe and did the whole backpacker hostel thing, but I had never been out of the country, but it changed my thought process, you know, blew my head off. And
it does, right?
I realized, there's a lot more to see. There's a lot different ways to live in the world. And I'm going to see as many as I can. And I've made good on that, at least. And I'm just curious, you know, it just piqued my curiosity even more. So, yeah, it's all it takes is that one trip. Usually for most people, all it just takes one, like, oh, right, I've lived this way my whole life. And I thought that was it. And now this isn't.
And some people get the bug and some people don't. Some of us are more gypsy in spirit than others, I think.
Some people are not curious. They really aren't. I don't get it, but they just aren't. And then there's fear, and then there's, you know, money, whatever that. But
I think seeing new streets and new places and talking to new people, it's so stimulating to the brain. You know, I feel like there's so much beauty in this world, and I don't know how many years I have on this planet. And so my goal is to just try to basically, for lack of a better term, I want to consume as much beauty as I can in this world. I'm so grateful that I have eyes that can see and a nose that smells, and food is wonderful. And why, you know, you just want to take it all in. So yeah, it is a curiosity. I think some people have more curiosity than others. Travel, you know, I think we all get anxiety at times when you're traveling and you don't know what could happen. But the curiosity and the joy and the high and rush of getting to see and experience new things trumps out that anxiety or trepidation for me.
Well, now that you are on this second stage of life, and now that your son is off to college and everything like that, what do you want to try? You have your first taste of solo travel. Would you do some more again? I mean, and would you do it? It doesn't have to be overseas. It could be, you know, take a weekend, go to the desert or something. You know what I mean? So, I mean, are you looking into more of that?
Yeah, I am. I have to travel a lot for work this coming year. And so I'm hoping and thinking maybe I'll piggyback on all of that. I might as well make the most of it.
Any cool places other than Vancouver coming up?
Let's see, what's on my list? I have Vancouver, I have Houston, I have Miami. I've never been to Miami. I've only been to
the
north part of Florida. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I just came from there 2 days ago.
How was it?
It's exactly how I remember it since I've been going in the 80s. No, it's actually, it's booming. I'm surprised. It's like, there's so much construction downtown.
So much construction.
And I've been, you know, I've had family there my whole life. So it's just like, I've been going there a long time. But to see how it's, you know, cities go through waves, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a couple decades, it's flying high, and then it's crashing and people are leaving, and then it's booming again. And so it's weird. So it's kind of booming now, and it's a lot of international
people. Of international money is pouring into real estate there.
A lot of South Americans, Brazilians, yep. Argentinians, and Russians and stuff. But and of course, Americans retire there. You know, so you get that too.
Unfortunately,
but it's getting pricey.
My Midwestern family all retired from Indiana to northern Florida to a place called The Villages.
Oh, this is a famous place. I have another friend. It's the biggest retirement community, for people who don't know. It's the biggest retirement community in America, and it's in Central Florida, I think just north of Orlando. And there's a documentary on it. Have you seen it?
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet.
To summarize for the people, what you need to know about The Villages is they have the highest STD rate of anywhere in the country. And the highest use of Viagra and medications for ED, because you can't get pregnant, so you might as well go have some fun.
Yeah,
you know?
And they are having it. Oof, boy.
They are. Those people are exhausting. Every time I go there, by the time I'm done, I'm begging my relatives, please don't make me go out to happy hour another night. Can't we just stay home?
I can't eat another dinner at 4 p.m.
I can't do another happy hour at 4 p.m. Yeah, every night it's a different one that they go to. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right?
How's the food? It's not good, but the portions are nice and big.
and the drinks are cheap and flowing. And I mean, there's a lot to watch. I mean, it's fascinating to watch the mating rituals of senior is considered 55 now, which is a little frightening.
Yeah.
Because I'm almost there.
I know. I could live in a senior community right now, which is horrifying to me.
You could purchase some cheap real estate in senior communities, though, and use it to your advantage. But yeah, so here we are, basically hypothetically considered seniors and not feeling like it. And these guys rage. They're in their second prime. They too. They're having their, instead of a midlife crisis, I guess it's a late life crisis.
Well, I mean, they've also had a different run. These are boomers now, which have had a much more privileged life than like my grandparents, who lived in an old condo. My grandparents down there were like Seinfeld's parents, and just these old Jews from New York complaining about the war and, you know, still remember the Depression? It's like, okay, yeah. So they had seen a lot and done a lot and survived a lot, you know. They were not in party mode. They were just happy to be alive.
It was such a different time.
They were just happy to be alive. And
amen to that. Yeah. Was there plastic on the furniture, though?
No, it wasn't.
In Florida, I would assume you can't do that because you'd sweat all over
it. It's too sticky. Yeah.
Yeah. In the Midwest, it's very common, as you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That seemed to be more of an Italian family thing.
Yeah.
I found that with my Italian friends. Did you have friends in or family in Chicago, you said?
Yeah. My family's from Indiana, northern Indiana. So
what town? I bet I know it.
No, it's a tiny, if you know it, I'm going to fall off my chair. It is a tiny, tiny town with like less than 1,000 people. It's called Remington, Indiana.
Remington.
If you blink, you miss it. But it's about 20 minutes from Monticello, where Indiana Beach is, if you've ever been to Indiana Beach.
Yeah, I used to go to the dunes as a kid. You know, that was like our closest quote unquote beach, because I was on the south side. So I was only like 5 to 10 miles from the Indiana border.
Yep, yep.
Calumet City and all that other around there, and Merrillville.
I had family in Merrillville. We were about 25 minutes from Lafayette, where Purdue is.
Yep.
That's probably the most notable place. But family moved into Illinois, and we'd always fly into O'Hare. We'd fly into Chicago most of the time instead of Indianapolis. And then I have dear friends. I have a lot of Michiganders in my life. I'm a magnet for people from Michigan. They're my they're my favorite. And so I have a dear friend who actually is from Kalamazoo. And when we fly in to go stay at her little lake house, because she got a place on the lake. So we go there, we fly into O'Hare, and then,
yep.
You know.
I got family in Kalamazoo, too.
You do?
My aunt and uncle live in Kalamazoo, and I have family in Grand Rapids. And my brother-in-law's family is from Muskegon.
Muskegon.
Right on the lake there. So, oh, yeah,
the
I know all that stuff.
Right?
Yep.
The Mitten.
Absolutely.
It's part of the Mitten.
Michigan's beautiful. We're running in the same circles over there.
I think Michigan is a prettier, sorry, Indiana, because I do actually love Indiana, but I think Michigan's a prettier version of Indiana because there's just more lakes and trees.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
You don't have to apologize. Everybody knows it.
I like Michigan.
Michigan is prettier. It is. Yeah. And if you get up really north, have you ever been up to like Charlevoix or...
I haven't, but I want to go. I hear it's beautiful up there.
Beautiful up there, yeah. And they got wine up there. I shot actually a wine special, a pilot, where we went to these like hidden wine regions, and there was one in northern Michigan there. It's really cool.
There's weird little areas that have... That'd be a whole interesting... podcast. There's actually like wine regions in multiple states in the United
States. Every state has one. It's somewhere. That was the whole theme of the whole show.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I need to find that.
Nobody wanted to buy it.
It's like the Schitt's Creek episode.
Yeah.
She's shooting the commercial for the winery. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Sweet Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Nah, so sad.
She's a legend.
What a loss.
That woman.
She's amazing.
Treasure.
In everything. So, okay, so you're going to be up in Vancouver, you said.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Vancouver. I'm going to Toronto, Miami, Houston. Where else? I don't know. And then I do want to, now that everything's getting settled, I'm hoping I'd like to maybe book an apartment for 2 or 3 weeks out of the country and try working from there for funsies. So
absolutely.
I looked into getting an apartment in Paris. Because I could do it. I could work East Coast hours. It wouldn't be as difficult. I do want to go back to Portugal. Porto was really spoke to my soul. I need to go back there. I need more time there. I was hoping to get back there, but then I thought, well, maybe I'll see if I can con some girlfriends for my 50th birthday to go to Portugal.
Which is not happening for 15 years, as we know.
Aw, bless you, Mike.
That sounds like a good plan. I mean, working remotely changes everything. I mean,
I can work from anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you got that kid out of the house.
I mean,
and now good you got Lord, that ball and chain out of the house.
I have to pay for college too, so I've got on the slate, so I have to be somewhat reasonable. It is hard though to decide, you know, when you choose to travel. I'm dying to go back to Portugal because I don't feel like I got enough time there. There's so much more to see. But then you're like, well, but now I have checked that box. Do I go back or I haven't been to Spain yet?
Oh my gosh.
I haven't been to Greece yet.
What?
I haven't been.
How much of Italy have you done?
The Netherlands. Italy, I need to see more of Italy. I've done Venice and Florence.
Okay.
In Italy.
Two of the big ones. And Rome, though. Usually it's the three, Venice, Florence, and Rome, and then you fly home.
Yeah, I don't want to go there during the summer.
It's hot.
I'm not a heat-seeking creature. I will tell you where I went, which for anybody who likes to travel, if you've not been there, don't sleep on Lugano.
Okay.
Have you been to Lugano?
No.
All right. Lugano is on, you know, the beauty of Switzerland. Switzerland's pretty cool because Switzerland's teeny tiny and it connects to
Germany,
four different countries.
Italy, France.
Yeah, you can very quickly go into Germany. You can go into Austria. You can go to France. You can go to Italy. And so one of the places I took my son when we were on that trip, we hopped on the train. It's one of the most beautiful train rides I've ever been on, by the way. We went from the eastern side of Switzerland in St. Gallen. We stopped off in Zurich and had lunch in Zurich with more family. And then we took another two-hour train ride to Lugano. And Lugano is right on the Italian-Swiss border.
Yeah. That's where they had the Winter Olympics 1 year. Speaking of skiing.
Was it in Lugano?
It was in Lugano 1 year, yeah.
I could see that because it's beautiful. And the mountain ranges that surround the lake are unbelievable. And it's like a 20-minute train ride from Como, by the way. It is right on the border.
Because I've been to Como. I've been to Lake Como.
Yeah.
I was close.
It's like it's all Italian, but with the Swiss efficiency, cleanliness, right? So it's like the best of both worlds. it was magical. And we happened to be there on the Swiss Independence Day, which is August 1st. And we saw a fireworks show over the lake in Lugano, which was unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen fireworks like that. I am ruined, ruined now. So if you can be in Switzerland on the evening of, you know, July 31st and August 1st, do it. The Swiss don't mess around with their fireworks. It is intense. Like, who knew, right?
You're right. Switzerland is great. All you just need money. That's the only problem with Switzerland, because it's expensive.
You do. Well, yeah, if you're going to certain areas of Switzerland, forget it. But it's not all that way. I found, you know, we went up into like the German parts, or you can go, and it wasn't that expensive. But yeah, when you go into like Zurich, or obviously if you go to, you know, any like the major, it's a fortune. But the little towns in Switzerland are not terrible.
Yeah, it's so gorgeous.
And it's so beautiful. And yeah, you can wander around and hike and walk trails, and it doesn't cost you anything. And it's, you know, there's museums everywhere. And
have you gotten to know London pretty well?
I haven't.
Oh, really?
It was my first time in London, and I actually feel like I didn't do London properly, and I need to go back.
Oh yeah, got to give it at least a couple chances. And, you know,
I'm gonna hit you up for travel tips. Is what I'm gonna do.
I'm your guy. Just send me an email and let me know.
What a happy accident! You like traveling, and you travel for work because you're a comedian. Did you plan this, or was this a happy accident?
Well, one, you know, fed the other. You know, I hadn't seen as much of the country. My family, I grew up in Chicago, and we used to drive to Florida, not every year, but almost, you know, maybe once every a couple of years. And so I knew that route pretty well. And my parents were from the East Coast, so we went out. My mom was from Connecticut. We went out there. My dad was from New Jersey. I mean, we drove. So we did see a bit of the country, and we did the Griswold vacation to California and back.
In the station wagon.
We did it
backwards
whole way. We stopped along the way. The second largest ball of twine. I remember stopping at the Petrified Forest. I remember seeing, you know, the London Bridge in Arizona.
Did it impact you? Were you like, whoa?
It was amazing because, you know, I mean, I had only seen California on TV, and it seemed like a really magical place because it was always sunny. And it had mountains and ocean, two things I didn't, you know, I lived thousands of miles from. The desert fascinated me because it was so brown and dry. And, you know, I grew up around not any of that. And plus, I skateboarded and played baseball and stuff. And I used to dream of a place you could do this all year round. And so I kept there, you know, looking around for Starsky and Hutch, like I'm going to see them, you know, because it's. It's L.A.
And you might have.
Yeah. But, you know, you're doing this right now from Orange County. We stayed in Anaheim. And the hotel right off the 5 freeway or the 405 where we stayed, it was an old Sheraton. It's still there. And every time I drive by it, I'd be like, oh, that was the old. I stayed there in 70. Blah, blah, I think it was like 76.
Oh, my gosh.
When I was a kid. Yeah. And
well,
I remember the same.
Pretty young.
I remember the same four songs on the AM radio that. Right. That each AM radio station, every state by state, played the same playlist. And
when you hear it today, it takes you right back,
exactly.
Doesn't it?
Yep. Dancing Queen was one of them. So it must have been 77, I think.
A little ABBA.
Yeah, Dancing Queen. I think Dust in the Wind was another one. And Hotel California, of course.
Yeah, all classics.
But, you know, you didn't get to see how varied the country was, you know. And I mean, desert. Palm trees were always, you know, just going to Florida and seeing a palm tree just blew my mind. You know, that to me was
nuts. My mom said when she moved from Indiana, she didn't know what an avocado was until she came to California.
No,
avocados were not in Indiana growing up.
Nope. I never saw anybody put one on food. That's why when it's like, you know, a California burger anywhere in the world, if it says California salad, California burger, they put a piece of avocado on it. That's what it is.
It's like instant California.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like if a drink is a Russian anything, it means it's got vodka. If it's an Irish anything, it means it's got whiskey in it. You know, we're shorthand. So, yeah. So if I know a California salad that's going to, it's got avocado in it. Yep, got it. But no, it was all new to me. So, you know, you can be staring out the window fascinated by it, or you could be, you know, not even paying attention. And I worry about that. You have a son. when you take him, because I've been on these cruises that I see kids on them, and they're bored by nature. You know, we were looking at the Glacier Bay, this gorgeous, amazing scenery in Alaska, and the kids are just, yeah, okay. They're 5 minutes, and they're like, okay, back to their iPad or whatever. I mean, did you, like, were you on him about the phone and stuff traveling?
Yeah, I'm very lucky with this child because he has a natural intrinsic curiosity. He loves history.
Oh, that's good.
The only time he was on his phone really was to document and take pictures and take pictures of the signs and research things that we would see. So it wasn't too bad. I have to believe that I think that with our kids, even if they don't seem engaged, you make an impact, right? They're going to still look back. Subconsciously, it makes an impact on them. They learn along the way, and they will remember it. The reason why I chose to create these experiences with my child is because I realized he's not going to remember me taking him to school in the morning. What he'll remember when I'm dead and gone are the experiences that we had together. You remember holidays. You remember trips. You remember birthdays, right? And so this was my way of trying to create memories for him and for us and experiences that he would treasure. Actually, funny story, we went to Bath for the day when we were in London, and there was a train strike happening.
Shocking. Oh, boy.
I know. I think there's always some kind of strike going on there.
Always. There, France. I mean, if you can get through a week in France without some kind of major strike.
The
truck drivers, the train drivers.
The French don't mess around, man.
The airplanes. They're just the union's got some power there.
And so we were in Bath, and we really wanted to go on a tour. And the only tour that was available when we got there was one that was later in the day. And if we went on it, we would miss our train back. And so I turned to him and I was like, hey, one life, like, let's stay and take the tour and I'll find a hotel for us. And he's like, but we don't have any of our stuff. I don't have my toothbrush. I don't have my stuff, Mom. And I'm like, you're going to be fine. It's okay. He's like, what am I going to sleep in? And I'm like, you're going to sleep in your underwear and a t-shirt. It doesn't matter. You're going to be okay. Right. And he was so freaked out initially. And we did it. And it kind of rocked his world a little bit, but like, that's the beauty of travel and learning how to be nimble and flexible, and you'll be fine, right? So I, God bless the internet. I went online. I found us a little cheap hotel. We went on the tour. The tour was amazing of the Roman baths. Incredible. Yeah. No regrets. Wandered around and found a great little place for dinner. Checked into our weird, seedy little hotel. That was fine. It was fine. And of course, they have toothbrushes. Like, you're fine. You just ask. Like, there's always a way, you know? I think I found a charger at one of the liquor stores that I bought for our phone. Like, we were fine. And then we woke up the next morning early because we had a pretty early train back. And we got coffee and croissants, and it was raining, and we wandered all around Bath at like 7 o'clock in the morning. Nobody was out. It was just this magical moment. And none of those moments would have happened if we worried about getting to that train and not.
Yeah.
And granted, I left that room in London vacant that night, which is painful to think about how much I paid for it and didn't sleep there.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, you can make more money, but you can't. Those memories are precious. We'll never have those memories again.
And what a great lesson that he learned, right? That, you know, it's doable. If you got to, like, they lost our luggage. Well, you know, unless you had some like super expensive, who's bringing like your best suits on, you know, you go buy another one.
It's fine.
Unless you're in the middle of nowhere, you can get anything. Yeah. You can buy anything. Yes. It's going to suck, but
I always
just
do that check. I'm like, where are my glasses?
Right.
Right? Like, what do you actually really need?
Bring your medications.
100%.
Your passport, you know, your chargers, and your laptop, and you know, and that's it. You're good.
A friend of mine's a flight attendant, and she just did a story about the United flight that just landed. They had the emergency landing, and people were literally stopping to grab their suitcases and their carry-ons, and she was talking about, like, let it go. Nothing is that important. You're risking your life and the life of people behind you. Let it go. But yeah, being nimble. I've missed flights. I don't care. It's fine.
Well, let's get to that. Your worst. Give me your worst flight experience. Or the most insane flight experience you've had?
I'm trying to think. Well, okay, so that little trip that we took where we went London, Paris, Switzerland, back to London, I got an offer. So Delta, because I'm loyal, sent me all these awesome offers. I booked our nonstop flights to and from London, and then I booked, we did train up to Switzerland, and then I booked us one-way flights on Swiss from Zurich back to London Heathrow, and I allowed a nice big chunk of time. There was like 3 hours before when we landed and then our flight took off. And this particular flight that we were taking from London back to LAX, I upgraded us to first. Wow. I got like a hell of a deal. It was something ridiculous. It was like $400 to upgrade both of us, or even $400 a person. I don't remember what it was, but it was a ridiculous deal.
First, not business, first.
No, first. To which I was like, yes, please sign me up. Again, it's ruined me. And I almost didn't make that flight because this is what happened. So we landed in Switzerland. At this point, we had two suitcases. When I travel with him, what I tend to do is one suitcase is for him, one suitcase is for me. By the end of the trip, I have all of the dirty clothes in one suitcase and then everything that's left in the other one is usually how I compartmentalize as we go on our travels, right? And so we had two suitcases. I checked them. We flew on Swiss into Heathrow, which is a very large airport for those who don't know.
Oh, it's a zoo. It's massive.
And we landed and we got off and the luggage started coming out because I had to get our luggage and then recheck and we had to go through customs, right? Because we were going from Switzerland into England and then flying home.
Right.
So, which again, I thought I planned plenty of time because I think I'm clever, right? I think I'm working the system, right? And so the first suitcase comes off and we wait and we wait and we wait and I keep checking. And mind you, I have a first class flight waiting for me with first class lounge access, like all the perks that I've never had before. International, right? But we're waiting. I need this other damn bag. I need this other bag. And they're like, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. By the way, use your little Apple
AirTag.
AirTags. If I had had AirTags, I would have saved myself a lot of pain. This is how you learn. You learn the hard way, right?
Right.
I had no air tags in anything. So I believed them when they said, your other bag is coming. Hold on. And we waited. And an hour passed. And an hour and a half passed.
Oh, no.
And then finally, I don't remember. There was not very much time left. At this point, I was like, F it. We're going to let it go because we're going to miss our other flight. Like, I don't even know where we're going in this huge airport and or what I'm going to have to get through so that I can get to our flight from Heathrow back to LAX.
So they wouldn't check your bags all the way through because it's two different airlines, or you just have to go through immigration again and recheck it?
I thought I was being clever. I flew on Delta.
Yeah, okay.
I'm tripping nonstop because I got a hell of a deal.
So you got to recheck your bags.
So I had to recheck my bags. So the second bag wasn't coming. We were standing there, and finally the anxiety was kicking in, and I was like, okay, we're going to abandon this. And about that time, they said, oh, sorry, the other bags never made it on the plane. And at this point, I think we had like, I don't know, a half an hour or 45 minutes before our flight was leaving.
Go across Heathrow.
I ran. It must have been 2 miles. It sure felt that way. I ran through Heathrow like I was running for my life. We had to get through. I'm calling Delta at the same time as I'm running through Heathrow, saying, can you book me on another flight and keep me on? Because what are my main concerns? I want to keep that damn first class flight I got. So I'm like, can you book us on a later flight and keep us on first class? No, there's no guarantees. I'm talking to them. I'm like, can you tell them that we're coming? Please, we're coming. I still need to check my bags. My poor kid's running after me.
Aww.
We're running. So we make it. We make it.
Oh.
Literally, they take my bags. I beg them. I throw them on a bag, not plural. There was no two bags. There was just one bag. Luckily, it was the bag with the fresh clothes. Well, lucky or unluckily, it was the bag with the first clothes, because the bag with the dirty clothes, it took a while to get. But We literally walk onto the plane. They held the plane for us. They shut the door behind us. I get into first class.
It hits you in the ass. Really, don't let the door hit you in the ass. We've been waiting.
I can wring my hair out. I am drenched in sweat walking into first class. I'm wearing a white t-shirt, which is completely see-through at this point because I literally was drenched in sweat.
Well, you gave the plane a show, at least, for being
late. I did. It's really not the classiest way to walk onto a first-class flight. Thank God the crew was so lovely and very happily shoved a glass of much-needed champagne in my hand.
How good does that taste after that?
Yes. To say I was dehydrated and was quite thirst-quenching is an understatement. And luckily, I could hide in my pod, and my sweet, beautiful child, who, of course, had never flown first-class internationally either, also got ruined and spoiled.
Yeah.
So all was well, but it was definitely, that was probably one of the most traumatizing. I've missed many flights because I always think I have more time than I do. And also I like to be the last person to board.
Right.
I would pay extra to board last. You know how everybody wants to be first to board? Why would I want to sit in an airplane and have people walking past me?
Oh, believe me, other than the only reason to go early is if you're worried about overhead space. But
true.
If you don't have to worry about overhead space, then yeah,
they'll
I don't want to. I'm in no hurry to get on there at all.
No hurry to get on there at all. And they'll check it for you if they don't have space. It's fine. I love a good airport bar because
you like paying $50 for a glass of wine.
No, because I love the stories you hear.
Oh,
I have this theory. I've always thought about writing a book where I would just travel around and sit in airport bars because you just start chatting with people. Everybody has a story because everybody's going somewhere. And people have a tendency to really open up because they know they're never going to see you again.
I smell podcast.
Right? I know. Let's do it. Do it, Mike. You can rip off my idea. It's fine.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't spend enough time in airports. Thanks.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're on cruises.
God. Well,
most of the time, right?
I got to get there, and I'm in a lot
That's
of
true.
Airports, and I can't
so
get out of them fast enough.
I have Delta lounge access now, and I go into the lounge most of the time because it's fun and it's a perk, and so you know it makes you feel special and whatever. But sometimes I miss being out in the wild with everybody else because it's not quite the same. You know, when you sit down and have a burger and a beer in an airport bar and grill, you know. You get better stories, I think, than when you sit in the Delta lounge and you're in your little pod, you know.
Well, speaking of eating now, what's any food poisoning on the road? Any what's the craziest thing you've eaten? I mean, you've gone to mostly Europe, so you don't really – you're not out eating bugs in the bush in Africa
or something.
No
bugs in the bush for me. What's the craziest thing? The only food poisoning I've gotten traveling was actually local. It was Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to think if I got it. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I got it. Oh, I think I got food poisoning the night before travel, and I almost didn't go. It was for my mom's 80th to Florida. That actually just happened.
Ugh.
The capillaries were broken on my face because I was up all night. And I wasn't going to go because I didn't know if I had the flu, and I didn't want to infect anybody. But then I got up, and I felt fine, and I could eat and drink. Like, nothing was wrong. And my aunts were like, you can't miss it. It was surprising my mom for her 80th.
Oh,
shit, she's not going to like that I just exposed that on this podcast. Sorry, Mom.
I don't think anybody's going to look her up, so I think she's fine.
Yeah, well, you never know. She'll think that they are in the villages, you know.
We don't want to blow her cover. What, are they going to check her ID? Are they going to card her at the villages?
Right. So, no, I mean, I've had so many amazing meals traveling. I'm a foodie. I love food.
Okay.
So.
Your number one food place, I mean, city. Not country, but city, if you were going to...
That's hard. Okay, so Switzerland has amazing food. I don't care what people say about the Germans and the Swiss. The food is beautiful there. It is so clean.
Great
it
cheese.
It is so fresh. The cheese, come on. Like, do you need anything
What's
else?
What's that, raclette? Is that raclette?
Fondue?
So good.
Yes. Like, cheese and vegetables
chocolate.
Or meat? Yes, the chocolate. The wine is actually... Germany has great wine.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. So I would say, but I mean, obviously, like, come on, like, you know, Paris is like the food capital of the world.
Sure.
I'm dying to go to San Sebastian in Spain.
Me too. It's on my list too.
That is on my list.
Yeah.
Like, that might be top on my list because it's hard. If I go to Portugal, Spain's right there. That's the seduction. And that's why I keep going back to Europe because it's so seductive, because it's so easy to go to multiple places.
Yeah. And if you like food, I mean, you can't go wrong there. But if you for food destinations, definitely Italy, of course, is always most
Italy
people's
is
number
amazing.
One. But that's why one of the reasons Thailand for me is up there, because the food is just incredible everywhere you go. And even off like a roadside stand, you'd be like, oh, my God, this cost me $3. I'd pay $30 for this back
Isn't
home.
Incredible?
And you just whipped it up at a cart.
I didn't know that I wanted to go to Thailand until a friend, a client of mine, you should interview him. He travels a lot.
He's all right. Send his info.
I will. So he went to Thailand. I think his intentions originally were to just be there for like 3 weeks. He stayed for the full 3 months that he could stay for.
Yeah.
And he posted all kinds of pictures. And that's what piqued my interest. I didn't know that I had any interest in Thailand.
Oh, yeah.
And I would see his posts on social media and I was like, oh, the food and everything's so reasonable and it's so beautiful.
Yeah, you got it. You got a lot of So now, Marin, that's my job. We're going to get you around the world. This now your newfound freedom.
I know.
And also in Japan, if you got to go to Japan.
I know. I want to go to Japan. That's on the list too. And my child really wants to go to. I mean, it's so hard because New Zealand and Australia are both so far, but they're both huge. So it's like you can't really do both.
But from
both.
LA, I mean, we do have a little advantage there. I mean, it's we can get a direct from here to Sydney or
it's
Melbourne.
Long,
so
though.
It's far though. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
But you're gonna lose a couple days going, and then you'll get them back when you come back. But yeah, you just gotta need time. You gotta give yourself at least a couple weeks. That's
right?
The only thing. Yeah.
I know. So yeah. There's that. I want to see it all, as much as I can. We'll see.
You're on the way. You raised a kid. You did it. Now it's now the fun can start.
Well, I had this. I researched all these things before I went to Portugal, and so I watched a lot of the like travel YouTube shows that are out there. And so then I came up with this idea for a travel show on YouTube. I could totally do it. I saw what was missing from the format of how they were structuring all of them. And so I came up with all of it. I've built it all out. I have friends who would shoot it for me. I have a whole plan. Because I was like, how do I figure out a way to travel and eat and get somebody else to pay for it?
Well, you're kind of doing it. You got a job that's letting you do it. So
I know,
you're halfway there.
But it's national travel right now. Our company is only in North America and the U.S., so it's a little limiting. But that's fine. I still like it. There's beautiful places to see in this amazing country, so I'm not mad about it. But then I had a month last year where I traveled consecutively a lot. And I came home, and I was annihilated. I was so exhausted. And at that point, I went, I don't think I can do a travel show. I think I'm too old.
No, it takes it out of you. I'm starting to feel it now. And as much as I love travel, it can, I've talked to and I know so many influencers and things like that. They make their living traveling, travel writers too. And burnout is a real thing because you end up, right now I travel as much as I want to. But, when it's your living, you got to get on that plane when you don't want to. And you got to, especially if you're freelance, you got to, when I was a younger man, it was a lot easier. And now my back can only, I try to limit how much time in the air I can do. And it's, it knocks it out of you. That's the only thing. It's not the performing or when you're there, it's great. It's the getting there now that, and they're not making flying any more pleasant as the years go.
No, that's why you have. Okay, so do you have loyalty? Riddle me this. Do you have loyalty to the airline or not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with the three big ones, but I'm not. I'm only American is my main one, and I'm gold for life on American.
Nice.
From a million miles lifetime.
That's incredible.
That kind of thing. But
yeah,
I have miles, a lot of miles on the other ones, but I don't have status, so I can't get upgraded like I used to and that kind of thing.
Oh. I just got upgraded last week flying back from Vegas, and I was like, really, guys? Like, this
is
the time I need the first. Yeah,
right.
For 41 minutes.
I've turned it down before when they give me that. It's like, okay, great.
I want to be like, if I accept this first class upgrade on a 41-minute flight, does that mean that I'm asked out when I fly to Miami next month? Like, because I'd really rather have it for that flight.
So is this like jury duty? I won't get it again for another 3 years?
Totally.
So, okay, you said your dream destinations and all this other stuff. What do you think all this travel and everything like that and the places you've been, How has it changed you as a person? What have you learned? And what has it taught you about yourself, the world, and everything else? How has it changed you?
I think much like the bass story that I told, I think that it teaches you to be open and fluid. Not everything has to be planned, and things sometimes don't go the way you plan they are going to go, and that's okay. I've gotten stuck in hurricanes in Louisiana, and I've missed flights, and I've run through Heathrow, and it all works out, right? Like, sometimes you kind of got to go with it because there's some new adventure waiting for you that you didn't plan on. And if you don't stay open to it and calm and open, you're going to miss out on the gift, right? There's little gifts everywhere. I think that it has also toned. I think people are innately good. And I think if you stay open to it, it's really wonderful to meet other people and hear about how they live and their way of life, whether you're in a different state or a different country. There's cultural differences, and sometimes it's like a delight to learn about, you know? So I love that. There's so much beauty in the world. There's new foods to try and new wines to drink and new things to see and, new things you learn about yourself or ways to travel or words or, I mean, how many people do you know now that bring back cosmetics when they travel, right? Like, there's just all these little hacks that you learn along the way. But I think the most important thing with anything, especially as you get older, is traveling, I think, creates a lot of elasticity because it plays on your curiosity. And so you're taking in new things. You're learning new routes. You're having interactions and adventures that aren't regimented. And I think it's good and healthy to have a little bit of flexibility. I think it's good for the brain, learning new languages, having to learn languages on the fly when you go somewhere and you're like, okay, I don't know this language at all. What are the basic things that I need to know to get around? And at least say, please and thank you.
Yeah.
And where's the bathroom?
Get that much.
And good evening and good morning. And, you know, I'll have another beer or whatever the case may be. So
no, that's great. Where can people see you? What if people want to like hire you or something? Where can we find you?
Well, most people can find me on, I'm old, so I'm on Facebook and Instagram.
What do you say? That's where I am too.
Yeah, exactly. I can't keep up with the kids these days, but you can always find me on Facebook and Instagram. My handle is Marin May 1. And on Facebook, you can put in Marin May. And yeah, I'm happy to help and support in any way that I can. And it's fun to spend time with you. And I have so many people I need to introduce you to who have way better stories than I do.
Well, great. Give me all their emails. And while you're at it, send me some photos of yourself, too. I need that. And send me a list of links. And we'll get this baby turned around and edited and posted. Thank you for doing this.
It's super fun. I think, you know, I know I was thinking about it and I was like, well, what's like, because I haven't traveled that much, but I've traveled a lot and I certainly love it. And I do think it's an interesting thing to think about, you know, even traveling as a single mom with a child, right? What that looks like and those adventures. And I don't know. It's awesome. I'm a big fan and thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes. And hopefully we'll meet in person soon. We live like a mile from each other.
I will bring you green wine.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'll bring you white. See, there we go.
Awesome.
Colors I'm of the rainbow. Every color is the rainbow of wine.
Piper said she's not drinking wine anymore. It doesn't
feel right.
I know.
So. It was like, let's go wine tasting. Well, I'm not drinking. Well, let's not go wine tasting. We'll have to do something else.
Yeah, exactly. So have safe travels.
Thank you.
I hope yours goes well.
Thanks. Safe travels to you as well. Marin May, everybody.
The New York Times named the Frommer's Travel Podcast one of the 13 best for travel. Why did they like it? Well, they said, and I quote, "With charisma and candor, Pauline Frommer discusses the charms and ongoing transformations of places near and far, whether on the islands of Hawaii or on safari in Tanzania." Pretty nice, huh? We post new podcasts weekly, talking about travel from every angle. I hope you'll tune in.
Hey guys, Aaron Miller here from Armchair Explorer, and I just wanted to let you know that our new series is out now. We've got kite skiing across Antarctica, Aboriginal storytellers, and the craziest whitewater race in the world. We're going on a bucket list hike across Italy. We're going to the fjords of Norway in search of the Northern Lights and lots, lots more. Our goal is to take you on the trip of a lifetime every single week. You can find Armchair Explorer on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, and at VoiceScape.com.